start, I believe, a series on the book of Ephesians. And I'll be talking from Ephesians 2 this morning. And like Andrew was talking last week about, who do you say I am? That's a fantastic question for a Christian. Who do you say I am? This morning, my question to you guys is, who are you in Christ? Who are you in Christ? And this morning, sometimes you get a wee bit of pre-match nerves before coming up here, you know. And you have to go and confide in God and say, God, is this going to be relevant? Is this on the page this morning? And I find this amazing. If I'm lead services here, whatever, how God, I have no idea what Kirsty's going to sing on. Well, I have no one song at the end, but I had no idea what she was going to sing on there. I thought she did a fantastic job. And her songs confirmed to me the message I'm going to share. Better than that as well, more than that, the prayers that people prayed out were on the money. Kid's story on the money about building on a solid foundation. And William's testimony about letting God interrupt and letting God his plan come to fruition is very, very powerful. So we're going to look this morning then at Ephesians 2. Just bring it up. And the book of Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul whilst in prison, and it shows God's unconditional love toward us. It reveals our past, our present, our future, who we were before we accepted Christ, who we are now in Christ, and now stands for no opportunity wasted when you're in Christ, and who we will be spiritually ordained to grow and be in Him. Who I was, who I am now in Christ, and the hope of what I will be in Christ. So this morning I want to delve into that and have a look at who we were before we accepted Christ and who we are now after accepting Christ. I would like you to stand on your feet as we read this scripture and give God His place. I've got the old binoculars on here. The tender age of 37 on Friday. And I need these to help me move forward. So, Ephesians 2. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins, and in which you were once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom you were all conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by the nature of the children of wrath, just as the others. One of my favorite bits. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceedingly good riches of His grace and in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by the hands of the flesh, that you may be in time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace. One of my favorite verses, who has made both one, and broken down the wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh and in the enmity, that is the commandments contained in the the ordinance, so as to so create himself as the one new man from two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile both to God and in the body of the cross, thereby putting death to the enemy. And he came to preach peace to you who were far away and to those who were near. For through him we are both have access to the Spirit of the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, just like Lucinda was talking about earlier on, building on the rock, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So the chapter starts off by telling us who we were when we followed the ways of this world, when we obeyed the passions of the flesh and the impulses of the mind. It's interesting, when we follow our own thoughts, where do we end up? When you follow your own thoughts, where do you end up? On the other hand, when you consider the other side of things, when you reframe that and you ask, what happens when you follow God's thoughts for you? They're two completely different outcomes. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in the Holy Ghost. We also need to bring every thought captive in obedience to Christ. The reality is this morning that we do have an enemy. Like it says in John 10 and 10, this enemy comes to steal and destroy. However, Jesus came to give you abundant life. So when you follow your own thoughts, if they're not from the kingdom of God, they end in death and destruction. They bring no life. So we're involved in a battle, a spiritual battle. Your mind is most certainly the battleground. And if you walk in accordance to these thoughts, you will develop feelings and they develop into behaviors. And when you act upon the behaviors, you reap the wrong harvest. Have you ever experienced this? Has there been a time in your life when you have allowed these thoughts of the flesh to take root? Just notice for a moment how they have made you feel and how they affected your behavior. The devil, as Steph assured many times, is a dirty fighter. He likes to put the boot in when you're down. Reminds me of that Portuguese fullback, Pepe. He's a dirty git, but... Ramo, exactly, Alan, yeah, exactly. And Step talked about the halt principle, about being aware when you're hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, and how these factors can affect your thought life. Learning to shift your thoughts to kingdom thoughts is a key. Canoeists use a technique called portage when they want to shift from the river that they're currently, or the canal that they're currently canoeing in. And the mind is like a system of riverbeds which appear dry until thought comes. And the thoughts come and it turns into like a white water rafting, sort of like river, just really, really fast flowing. And if you interact with that, it just brings you goodness knows where. You have no sense of direction when you jump in there. It's like a raging river. Has anybody ever experienced a time when this has happened to you? Perhaps, as an example, you've had thoughts or of bitterness or perhaps resentment towards someone. And when you sow seeds of bitterness and resentment, you do damage to yourself. And the reality is this, you only damage yourself and nobody else. God does not want to see you damaged. God wants to see you restored. So what the canoeist does, when they want to change river, they paddle to the bank, they get out of the river, lift the canoe, put it on their back, and they just simply walk over. And they get into the stream that they want to be in, put the canoe down, and off they go. So I was thinking here, a key point, spiritually speaking for us, we need to get out of flesh thinking and into kingdom thinking, out of the flesh and into the kingdom. And if we walk in the thoughts of the kingdom, we will reap the harvest that God has in store for us. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 says, you have been made alive who were once dead in responses and from your sins, in which you once walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience. You were once dead because of your sin. You were once dead. You're not who you used to be. If you've got the Holy Spirit within you, if you're saved, you're not who you used to be. You're a new creation in Christ. The reality is, if anyone is a new creation in Christ Jesus, you have a bright future. Regardless what people say, you have a bright future. You do. That is fact. You have a hope. Like Uncle Tommy was praying this morning about hope. That is real hope. It says in the Bible, God is hope. Hope is a confident expectation for the future. That's what it is. So you're not who you used to be. You're a new creation. But it gets better in verse 10, as I'll come to. Ephesians 2, verse 4 is very powerful. It starts with the words, but God. God came and interrupted the flow. And the song Amazing Grace certainly comes to mind there. Just come and interrupt you. Interrupting is used in life coaching to interrupt the client's course. The client shifts from the kingdom of fear into the kingdom of faith as they see their blueprint before them. God is so gracious to us. He has chosen us to be his sons and daughters. He forgives our sins. We no longer have to be weighed down by sin, caught up in its entangled web. Rather, we're set free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Which is true. See the difference when you meditate in these sort of thoughts? See how powerful they are? How positive they are? What it does to you? It brings forth life. But thoughts of bitterness and resentment reap a harvest of death. Yeah. Remember, you reap what you sow. Doing what you want ends up in misery. Doing God's plan for your life ends up in victory. The Holy Spirit is the guide. Have ears to listen. Listen to those spiritual checks. And I'm not going to sing it, but you know Jiminy Cricket. Always let your conscience be your guide. Maybe that's a song for later, Kirsty. What situation do you need God to interrupt in your life and turn it around for good? What situation? Yeah. And the great thing is you can simply just pray and ask God, Lord, help me turn this around. And do you know what? Prayer interrupts the plans of the devil. It interrupts him, you know. Are you living in the reality of who you are in Christ? Are you still living in the old you. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not works, lest anyone should boast." The famous salvation scriptures. If you do not know the Lord Jesus this morning as your personal Savior and friend, the good news is you can come to Him as you are. It's not about efforting. It's about having faith and believing that Jesus died for your sins. Salvation is the best gift of all. You can't beat it. And like any gift, the credit goes to the giver. He gave it for free. Absolutely free. Because He loves you and because He can. Who are you in Christ? Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we're God's masterpiece. Wow. You are God's masterpiece. It's quite something. Meditate on that. Again, these are life-giving thoughts. You are God's masterpiece. When the devil comes and he's throwing everything at you, get out of that thought river. Go on to this one. Tell him that you're God's masterpiece. Let that thought grow in your mind. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Focus on that. The key is as well, when you're looking in terms of knowing that you're God's masterpiece, often in life that we focus on the wrong things. We focus on what everybody else has. You develop an inferiority complex. You develop resentment. You develop jealousy. Why? Because you're focusing on the wrong things. Focus on what the Lord has given you and who you are in Him. Any time that you see a problem with your behavior, seek the Lord and connect with Him. You might be thinking, God, why do I keep doing this? I keep falling prey of this. Help me, Lord. Help me. And sometimes the devil doesn't want you to go and connect with God. He wants you through guilt and shame to turn away from God. And the reality is when you do that, you just fall further and further and deeper away. So don't withdraw from God. Spend more time with Him. Book yourself in a session with Him. He's there at any time, 24/7. Just ask. Don't give up. Press into God. Press into Him. Allow God to shift your sense of normality. We are born again that we may do good works. So be a blessing to other people. Be generous of people just because you can. Compliment others instead of criticizing them. Serve others. Visit the lonely. Feed the hungry. Live the good life. Ephesians 2:11 says, "Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected their bodies and not their hearts." Who you were does not have to be who you are. It doesn't. You're completely different. And who you are does not have to be who you will be. We are changing daily. We're being refined daily by God. God is shaping and molding you. Ephesians 13:6-16 says, "But you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. For Christ Himself has brought us peace. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. When in his body on the cross, He broke down the wall of hostility that separates us. When he did this by ending the system of the law with His commandments and regulations, He made peace together with Jews and Gentiles, creating in Himself one new people from the two groups, together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his own death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. The start of verse 13 is very powerful. But now in Christ, we have been brought near. There are no longer any division lines. We're all equal in God's sight. We're all equal in God's sight. We don't have to waste any time feeling inferior to other people. It's a devil's trick to make you feel inferior. The reality is you, what does it say in verse 10? You are God's masterpiece. How could you feel inferior if you're God's masterpiece? You can't. Yeah. We are all one in Christ. We're one new man. Don't lose sight of that. Don't be condemned by the thoughts that the enemy tries to plant. Interrupt them through prayer. If you're on the wrong train of thought, get off the train you're on. The station is wherever you want it to be. Because God can come and stop any train, let you off, and welcomes you in to the Gospel Express, Steve. I was going through my mind this morning. I said, I can't say that's too cheesy. Oh, dear. Crack myself up with my own jokes. Oh, dear. What I'm trying to get across here is if you have any insecurities, ask God to help you overcome them. The more you grow in the knowledge of who you are in Christ, the more the insecurities will fade away. Put your confidence in Christ. It says in the Bible, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Don't listen to the world. Let God interrupt when you go off course. But now, who are you in Christ? So some thoughts just to ponder as I finish. Swap flesh thinking for kingdom thinking. It's very powerful. You're not who you used to be. You are a new creation in Christ. And that creation is God's masterpiece. We are sons and daughters of God. Where you were does not have to be who you are. And interrupt the plans of the enemy through prayer and connection to God.